When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made with the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Yesterday when we were live on FFC, it was the start of a mandatory minicamp all around the National Football League in all 32 spots around the NFL. We basically brought you the early notion that we had, who was there, who was not. But man, did Tuesday get so much more interesting to break down on this Wednesday on FFC. After practice played out, and players met with the media to discuss the biggest stories for their team, them individually, and of course, the franchise moving forward this offseason. We saw Aaron Rodgers for the first time in a Steelers practice uniform on the turf there in the Steel City. He's married now. We'll discuss all of that. We heard from Bengals rookie Shamar Stewart as he continues to try to get his contract done and is not participating. Maybe not the most experienced in the NFL, but a lot to say. Kirk Cousins was at camp for the Falcons. Stephon Diggs back for the Patriots. Oh, so much to break down, Lisi guy, over this next hour up until 1 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, and those were the notable names, right? And then we had reports that came out this morning that the Cleveland Browns said both Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel will not make it past the end of training camp, which obviously is a huge head scratcher. And like, what are you doing in regards to the organization? So, you know, Aaron Rodgers, it's all about Aaron. We know that he's back in camp. We know about the situation and we discussed it yesterday with TJ Watt. He's married now. I'm sure that, you know, he loves the headlines and that's what he wants everybody to, you know, talk about here. But the main storyline for Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers as a whole is, can this group compete for an AFC championship? Nobody's happy that Aaron Rodgers is in training camp. They want him to play at an elite level. Can he do that? And that's the main question that has to be answered. But for training camp a whole, this is what you want to see. You want to see star players come out, be notable, be productive on the football field. Some can do it and some can't.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. This is the start of really that later portion of the offseason. We saw voluntary OTAs the last few weeks in the NFL sporadically, right? Each organization on its own timeline, depending on the tenure of their head coach, basically. Rookie head coaches, first-year head coaches in that franchise could have been out there a little bit earlier on. This is the final part of the early offseason program. Then they go into summer break, and then, of course, in about a month and a half, we report for training camp all around the NFL. The big story of the day, Aaron Rodgers undergoing his first practice as a Pittsburgh Steeler. And Joe, when he showed up to the Steel City on Saturday to Pittsburgh's facility to sign that one-year contract, you noticed his left hand. It had a certain ring on that ring finger. And then yesterday on the practice field, even tossing that old pigskin around, still had the wedding band on that left ring finger. So asked afterward about that very thing, Aaron Rodgers said, yep, I'm married. When? A couple of months ago. Aaron Rodgers, always so coy and so sly, thinking he had the best secret in the National Football League. Where would his future home be? It's with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Joe, there is so much notoriety and attention paid to this guy. He is one of the great quarterbacks we have ever seen in the modern era of the sport. But in year number 21, at the age of 41, now with the Pittsburgh Steelers, you just saw him out there for the first time on the practice field yesterday. What's the vibe you get out of this Steelers team?
Again, middle of the road right now. I mean, I would much rather take a wait-and-see approach and see how they perform in the month of September before buying all in and saying Aaron Rodgers is the savior of the organization. And dedication is the key, right? And it's ironic that he gets married. Obviously, he'll be dedicated to his partner, whoever that is, in regards to the rest of his life. But the dedication to the organization, the dedication to the New York Jets was not there. We didn't see him buy all in. We didn't see him buy in with those young wide receivers. Now, all of a sudden, he's kumbaya with DK Metcalf, you know? We'll see. I mean, that he is dedication. Yeah, Aaron, you're dedicated, man. Good job. Let's see how long that lasts, you know?
I think that is the best take on Aaron Rodgers getting married that you will see around the sports media universe. If he can dedicate himself to an individual who is rumored to be named Brittany, then might he do the same in this one-year deal with the Steelers? I am sure Aaron and his spouse, Brittany, hoping for a longer marriage than a one-year deal. We shall see. But, Joe, it is interesting, right? Because on paper, right, at least on the practice field right now, Aaron Rodgers is a benefit, is an increase, is better than that of Mason Rudolph. But as we have said so many times, either before Aaron Rodgers signed, but with the largest elephant in the room of this NFL offseason, that he would more than likely end up with the Steelers, or since it became official last week. We do not expect this to change the outlook overwhelmingly so for Pittsburgh. Could they have a winning record? Heck, could they even make a playoff appearance? Sure. Do they elevate the ceiling beyond that? Now with Aaron Rodgers in the quarterback room? I'm not so sure. Aaron Rodgers was asked about how he has found Pittsburgh in his first few days there in the facility. He was asked why he still wants to do it, right? And he talked about this not being for his ego, but for his soul, the ability to still play football at the highest level and make an impact for the Steelers. Again, all of this is good right now. All of this is fine right now. That is the benefit of mandatory minicamp. It's all optimism, or at least it should be. You got the guys in shorts on the practice field, working out together, putting in the basics to set the table for a new season. What happens on June 10th is very different than what happens on September 10th, October 10th, November 10th. That's when all of this kumbaya nature and all that is said to the media after practice, that's when things are taken, of course, Joe, in a very, very different context.
Yeah, and when you hear him say he wants to play for his soul, it's an individual sort of self-fulfillment, right? And he's got one Super Bowl, and you can make the argument, you know, he's the greatest quarterback to only have one Super Bowl under his resume. He could have had multiple Super Bowls, right? Sort of similar to his predecessor in Brett Favre. The physical attributes are there, but for some reason, the chemistry or the team couldn't pull them over the hump to get number two and number three, respectively. And let's just use plug and play, Ben. We talk about upgrade, right, for Mason Rudolph. But if you're plugging and playing Mason Rudolph to Joe Burrow, Mason Rudolph to Pat Mahomes, Mason Rudolph to Josh Allen, Mason Rudolph to Jalen Hurts, you're talking about a huge jump with those quarterbacks if they were to be replaced or replace Mason Rudolph. Aaron Rodgers isn't that type of bump. He was 10, 12 years ago, and that's the hope is that, oh, if we could just catch this at 40 years old, maybe we have something. But that's like it's 30 to the yes and 70 to the no as we enter training camp.
Again, with all this notoriety, with all the attention on the Steel City yesterday and in the past few, and guys like us continuing to talk about Pittsburgh's outlook for 2025, has it changed the number? Has it changed the overview for this upcoming season? No, still 8.5. Under has the juice for the win total. Still Pittsburgh minus 184 to miss out on the postseason. The odds makers believe it is more likely than not. The Steelers will not be a playoff team this year, despite being so 4 of the previous 5 NFL campaigns. So Aaron Rodgers is in Pittsburgh. Minicamp going to play out for the next few days there in the Steel City. I'm sure he'll probably head over to Oakmont to take in the trappings of the United States Open. And then that will be that until we get ready for training camp in late July. We'll talk some more quarterback news around the NFL, including the most expensive backup quarterback the National Football League might ever know, with Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. In some positive injury news, we think, on a couple of young QBs in the AFC South. All of that and plenty more up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. So Aaron Rodgers was at Pittsburgh Steelers minicamp yesterday. Let's talk some more quarterbacks around minicamp in the National Football League as well. You know who showed up in Atlanta despite not being the starter any longer for the Falcons? That was Kirk Cousins. As expected, Joe, Kirk Cousins does show up for mandatory minicamp because making money is what Kirk Cousins is now trying to do for the Falcons. The most expensive and richest backup quarterback perhaps we have seen in NFL history. Kirk Cousins had this to say yesterday after he skipped voluntary OTAs, but was in attendance for mandatory minicamp. Quote, we're moving forward, and it's about how we as a team and as a quarterback room can be the best we can be in 2025, end quote, from Kirk Cousins. Again, doing the right things, saying the right things, as you might expect for Cousins. But, Joe, what does his presence at practice in that QB room behind second-year starter Michael Penix Jr. really mean for this Atlanta organization?
I think just assurance, you know, it is Michael Penix's team now. And if you weren't going to roll the dice and try to win a playoff spot with Kirk Cousins down the stretch, then there's no reason to start him or even play him unless barring any major injury, right? And that's the thing. You want to have a quality backup should things or your starter get injured. And if Michael Penix does go down for any type of time this season, at least Kirk Cousins could be a plug-and-play guy where you know you could still win games. Now, Kirk Cousins, other than a backup at this point in terms of his career for the Atlanta Falcons, it's a dead issue. Again, that experiment played out. He didn't live up to the expectation, certainly didn't live up to the price tag, and now the organization has to take the hit. But again, having him on the roster, they paid him, what, $10 million about a month ago for that roster spot? You got to keep him on there. And the fact that we know injuries happen, look at the situation with Indianapolis, with AR now shelved. We don't know how long that's going to be. Daniel Jones is there. Maybe it's another quarterback. Kirk Cousins has value to this team should an injury occur. But outside of that, there it's a foregone conclusion. He's a backup the rest of the regular season for the Falcons.
Should an injury occur, right, a break glass in case of emergency type scenario, yeah, I get it. I think there is maybe the glass half empty approach, Joe, to having Kirk Cousins looming over Michael Penix Jr.'s shoulder, even if they have a good rapport and relationship, and that's not exactly the reality of the situation. The Falcons have a win total of 7.5 this year. Not supposed to be a contender, not supposed to be a Super Bowl champion. But could they maybe make a run in the NFC South, where the other two teams, the Panthers and the Saints, not thought of doing much, and the Buccaneers have won this division for consecutive years? Perhaps, right? If Atlanta gets off to a mediocre start and Michael Penix Jr. looks rather mediocre, then I think the figure that is Kirk Cousins, that's when it starts to become a little bit dangerous, because Atlanta has made it very clear. Penix is their guy moving forward. It was a failed experiment and a failed contract to acquire Kirk Cousins. And if Kirk Cousins comes in for a struggling Michael Penix Jr., there's no guarantee by any means he even does better than what we have seen out of Michael Penix Jr. He is the future of the franchise of the Dirty Birds, the 8th overall pick a season ago. But Joe, you're not just paying for Kirk Cousins on a veteran minimum deal like we have seen for Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Daniel Jones, whatever it is. You're paying Kirk Cousins this year $40 million. His annual average value, still $45 million. And because of the $100 million guaranteed, the cap hit that Kirk Cousins takes for the Falcons this year in any form or fashion is incredibly significant. Even if Kirk Cousins was traded at a certain point this offseason, Joe, now that it is following that June 1st deadline, it's a $37.5 million dead cap hit for Atlanta to eat. Now, in a trade in that package, could they, of course, structure the deal that the upcoming organization has to take on some of that financial burden? Of course. But because of the financial obligations to Kirk Cousins, that's why he remains within the organization, not cut, not traded at this moment. And frankly, Joe, there's not really an NFL team now that Aaron Rodgers has signed with the Steelers, as we expected, that really needs Kirk Cousins to come in there and battle for a starting job.
No, and that's why you keep him on the roster. To your point, he backs up Michael Penix. If Penix struggles mightily, and I'm talking to the point where they're 1-5, and obviously Penix can't complete a pass and is committing turnovers, then you could go to Kirk Cousins in that type of situation to potentially get a little bit of momentum to get back in a playoff race. But if a team, let's say, does suffer a significant injury week one, week two, to a potential starter, and I'm not right. talking about a garbage team like Cleveland or the New York Giants, I'm talking about a contender. Let's just say it's Minnesota. You know, JJ goes down, unfortunately. I'm just saying, there's value there to get the veteran to potentially have a playoff-ready team with that type of experience, and that's where you can yeah. use, to your point, leverage, where it's only $37 million as opposed to what it is now prior, you know, to the, you know, week one in the season starting. There's a big difference. But we'll see. You know, again, we'll see this team. There's got to be a bullseye now on Raheem Morris and Fontenot. Even though they potentially made the right decision by taking Penix, you could say, because he is the starter right. this year, now they have to perform. You can't be a middle-of-the-road team and be sub-500 and miss out on the playoffs year number two with Michael Penix with a full season under his belt. Just can't happen. They both have to be gone at the end of this year.
And because of all the money spent on Kirk Cousins in this weird kind of limbo scenario in Atlanta, again, Joe, to me, it does not justify, even if Michael Penix Jr. is great, the decision made by Terry Fontenot and that front office last NFL draft to take Penix top 10 at 8th overall. Now, the Falcons have the fourth easiest schedule this year in the NFL. In fact, every team, all four of those clubs in the NFC South, have four of the 10 easiest schedules in the National Football League. The division is not great. Even the Bucs, who have won this division four consecutive years and have the highest win total, it's 9.5, and the under has a slight bit more juice. So again, there can be some ground made up by the Dirty Birds this season. We'll see how the quarterback situation plays out. From the NFC South to the AFC South, that's next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Some AFC South quarterback updates here, Joe, and mainly it's from a health component. All three of the guys were referencing issues or non-issues to their right throwing arm. Yesterday, Joe, showing up at Jags minicamp in Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence walked into the facility and walked out onto the practice turf with a sleeve on his arm. But some were saying it was a sling for his right throwing arm. Trevor Lawrence wore the sleeve the entirety of minicamp practice yesterday. And when Liam Cohen, new head coach in Duval County, was asked about it, he said, listen, just the sleeve. Arm was a little bit sore throwing all the balls he did last week at voluntary OTA. So we are proceeding with caution, but he was still a participant at practice during minicamp. A non-issue, I would presume.
Till they say it's an issue, right? Yeah. We'll see. Here's the thing. He's a young guy. He's big. Your hopes and playoff hopes and AFC championship hopes hinder on Trevor Lawrence being 100% healthy and being the quarterback that he was a couple of years ago under Doug Peterson. Last year, he regressed. He became more turnover prone, looked like a deer in the headlights, you know, and then obviously went down to injury in the middle part of the season. If I'm Liam Cohen, I take as much precaution as possible in limiting Trevor Lawrence in terms of throwing the football right now. Let him understand the playbook. Let him understand the calls. Have the backups do the work, because if it is an elbow, you don't want that to linger into week number one and then all of a sudden he's not 100%, because this team needs to step up. They have Travis Hunter. They obviously have Brian Thomas, and you have a great duo in terms of ETN and Tank Bigsby at the running back position. Let's get it done. Let's just get it done. But again, it hinders on Lawrence being 100% healthy.
This is why you have so many players at training camp, at mini camp, at all OTAs, because the amount of volume of reps that you want on the field for everybody to learn before you have to start making those roster cuts deeper into training camp. You have so many balls that need to be thrown during 7-on-7 individual workouts, quarterback and wide receivers, even in team drills. So if Trevor Lawrence is taking most of that on, obviously it makes sense. His arm is a little bit sore. To me, a non-issue. And again, Liam Cohen's main task in year number one as the head coach of the Jaguars, restore Trevor Lawrence to his second year, his only Pro Bowl season. Of course, when the Jags went 9-8, they stormed back to win the AFC South, and Lawrence threw for more than 4,100 passing yards, 25 touchdowns to 8 interceptions, looking like that number one overall pick from the year prior in the prince that was promised for the Jags a long time prior. That is the question entering year number five for Trevor Lawrence. Elsewhere, Joe, in the AFC South, last week we talked about C.J. Stroud not throwing on the field during voluntary OTAs because of shoulder soreness. We expressed here on Football Full Circle a little bit of concern. Why here in early June is a shoulder issue, shoulder soreness, isolating him from practice and keeping him off the field despite what D'Amico Ryans had to say about it? Well, maybe we should have trusted D'Amico Ryans a little bit more and admitted that it wasn't that big of a deal. As C.J. Stroud was back out there yesterday at minicamp, throwing, all good, no shoulder issue seemingly lingering on for Stroud.
Yeah, no, and you talk about C.J. Stroud. He regressed slightly under Bobby Slowick. They fire Slowick at the end of the regular season. And again, in order for Houston to step up, they need to throw the football more consistently than what they did. Now, a part of that was Tank Dell goes down in the loss to Kansas City in the regular season. Once they had that situation play out, it was a bunch of backups. Xavier Hutchinson and all the third and fourth stringers couldn't make up for Tank Dell's absence. But now it's a different story. With a new offensive coordinator and C.J. Stroud in year number three, they have the fifth best price, right? Or fourth best price in the AFC to challenge for a championship. We know what the defense can do, right? Led by D'Amico Ryans and that staff. We know they have talent. They now have to step up. Will Anderson can't just carry the team solely. That offense needs to help out. And with Mixon and now Nick Chubb, again, there is no turning back. This team now is a potential contender, but it hinges on C.J. Stroud's success, and we'll see if he can do it with a new OC in year number three.
Nick Caley is that new OC in Houston, part of the Sean McVay coaching tree, I believe. Last year was working as the tight ends coach and passing game coordinator for the L.A. Rams. Of course, when you look at both the Jags and the Texans, the two teams with the two shortest prices to win the AFC South, Houston looking to make it three in a row. They're booked as the favorites at plus 110. How about the shoulder issue for Anthony Richardson? That's next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
So for Trevor Lawrence and C.J. Stroud, maybe their arm or shoulder soreness, not really that big of a deal. But as we knew entering this week at mandatory minicamp in Indianapolis, Anthony Richardson would not be participating because of a shoulder issue that continues to linger and hamper his offseason. AR did seek a second opinion, Joe, on that shoulder issue. But the best course of action, as Shane Steichen told the media yesterday, continues to be rest at this stage of the summer, and they hope to have him ready for training camp. That's a big hope because the timeline for Anthony Richardson's return still very much uncertain at this moment. Joe, this is not a good sign for AR, right? We could talk about concern level, if there is any at all, for Lawrence or Stroud, for Richardson. I would say it is sky high. This is a quarterback that has only played in 15 total games in his first 2 years in the NFL. And if this shoulder injury has anything to do with his shoulder injury that he suffered during his rookie season, only playing 4 games and needing surgery that cut that first campaign short, then you are of grave concern. And Joe, it's not like a quarterback who has come into the NFL without questions and needing that development that has defied the odds and wowed everybody. He's been pretty darn bad so far. So this was going to be a critical offseason, not only of health, but improvement for Anthony Richardson that seems to be stifled as of this moment.
Yeah, so a couple of things. When we did the show throughout last week and we talked about the AR situation, Daniel Jones was still plus 136, 138
right
to be the starter. Today, right now, we look at the board on FanDuel, Daniel Jones, minus 166. That tells you everything you need to know. And again, this is a team now with Steichen at the helm that has been close to knocking down the playoffs. They have legitimate talent as it relates to Jonathan Taylor, one of the best running backs in the AFC, but they've yet to knock down that door to potentially get into the playoffs, winning the division or making it as a wild card. And it hinged on the success of Anthony Richardson, right? In terms of him, his progression in terms of being a starting quarterback. Now you add that, and now you add the fact that he might not even be ready or healthy week number one, and the team has a decision to make. If I'm Steichen right now, there's no doubt. AR has to prove that he's 100% healthy. If there's any doubt, I'm going with Daniel Jones week number one. My job depends on me getting to the playoffs. We have the talent. We know about the wide receivers that we've drafted, and Pittman and all this team, they need a quarterback that can get them the football. That's the only way they're going to win games in the conference. And Daniel Jones right now, wouldn't shock me, Ben, as we enter July August. He might go to a -300 to be the starter week number one in September.
So, Lazy Guy, I don't want to give us too much credit here, but because you and I have a strong backing and background in college football, in some of those NFL draft conversations and the quarterbacks we see rocket up the odds board or the draft board, you and I have a pretty good sense and feel of if we think this experiment and the development is going to work in the NFL. Two main examples right now. Anthony Richardson. You and I both watched him dazzle at Florida. Some of the athletic things this guy can do and the arm strength he possesses are otherworldly. Not many other quarterbacks playing the game right now can do what Richardson can. But the main question about AR in his only full year collegiately as a starting quarterback with the Gators was completion percentage, efficiency, accuracy. 53.8% completion percentage in 2022, his only full year as a starter with the Gators. That is not one thing that often gets better as you take that next step to the National Football League. It is not. It is regressed. Last year in 11 games, completion percentage for Anthony Richardson, 47.7%. The worst number of any qualified quarterback in the National Football League a season ago. And Joe, of any quarterbacks that made or at least played in 10-plus games, Anthony Richardson by far the worst completion percentage, 47.7. No other quarterback that played in double-digit games last year had a completion percentage worse than 60%. This was going to be a critical offseason that if AR was ever going to be a starting quarterback for Indy, or frankly in the NFL, if he had any sliver of hope to be the face of the franchise that the Colts drafted him to be fourth overall back in 2023, it was going to be right here, right now, right away in 2025. This is not that. We're not even sure when he's going to return. We're not even sure how healthy or unhealthy that shoulder issue makes Anthony Richardson at this moment. And to your point, Joe, it's no longer Richardson as the favorite to be that week one starting quarterback of the Colts. It's Daniel Jones at -166. It's unfortunate for AR that based on health, this is where he is. But even outside of health, Joe, he needed to prove a lot this offseason and early in 2025. I'm not even so sure he's going to have the opportunity to do so.
No, and when we look at other younger quarterbacks, let's just look at Caleb and Jaden Daniels last year, right? The biggest thing, you could be mobile, you can run the football, right? And that was a cause of concern for AR, his playing style, taking a lot of hits. Can he sustain a 17-game regular season knowing how he runs the football, right? But that aside, the biggest question mark, whether you have a starting franchise guy or not, is can he play from the pocket? And that is the biggest question mark for AR. And we talked about it through his days at Florida. Struggle when you keep AR in the pocket and you force him to read coverage and go through the passing tree. That's where he struggles. And if I'm a coach with my back against the wall, knowing that I have to get this team to the playoffs and that I have veterans and I have legitimate talent from an offensive perspective, I need a quarterback that could deliver the football, love him or hate him. Daniel Jones is a slight upgrade to AR because he's a better pocket passer. You know, we know about his turnover issues in the past, but again, yeah, you know, nobody's arguing who's a more complete quarterback right now. It's Daniel Jones, unfortunately. So we'll see. We'll see when AR gets back. But AR's career now is sort of similar to Trey Lance. He might be a backup relegated for the rest of his career.
Kind of hinges on this season, Joe. There is no doubt Daniel Jones is in there. You could also say it's a prove-it year for Shane Steichen. His first 2 years in Indianapolis, not bad, pretty average. 9-8 in year number one, 8-9 in year number two, a perfect 17-17, even .500 in his 2 years as a head coach. Now, if you want to give Steichen, the offensive mind, the benefit of the doubt, what do you guys want me to do? We drafted Anthony Richardson to be that quarterback of the future. He hasn't even been healthy enough for me to get a true picture or a development on this guy. But there's not a lot of wiggle room, of course, in Indy, where Jim Irsay's daughters now take over as the ownership trio, if you will, following Irsay's passing just a few weeks ago. Indianapolis, a lot to figure out in the quarterback room moving forward. Lisa Guy, we could say the same about a couple of other quarterbacks we have properly diagnosed, like Will Levis, who, of course, is now a backup in Tennessee. We'll see what his future holds in the NFL, really, as a whole. Another quarterback battle that's interesting is the very jumbled QB room in Cleveland. Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and Shador Sanders. Those odds also out to be the week one starter for the Browns. Flacco, the 40-year-old, is the favorite at plus 110. Kenny Pickett, acquired via trade with Philadelphia this offseason, 2-1. And Joe, Dylan Gabriel now has a better price to be the starter at plus 500 than that of Shador Sanders at 7-1. Just about 48 hours to go, it was Dylan Gabriel plus 1060 and Shador closer to a plus 310 price.
Yeah, and we're getting conflicting reports because if you read X and you read social media, it says Shador's outplaying Dylan Gabriel, but yet the market is telling us Gabriel has the inside track to make the roster and Shador's out. So right now I would bet on Pickett at 2-1, Ben.
Me as well. And frankly, Joe, I think it has to be Kenny Pickett to start. What's the purpose of the veteran Joe Flacco, who, yes, 2 years ago started the final five games for Cleveland, got them to 11 wins in a playoff spot, but it's about the future in the land. More on that next here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stephens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So the Browns have a very jumbled quarterback room for 2025, not to mention Deshaun Watson still on the financial books as well. Joe Flacco, the veteran. Kenny Pickett, maybe still with some upside early in his NFL career in the two rookies, Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders. Again, from the odds, Flacco is the favorite to be the week one starter for the Browns, plus 110. Kenny Pickett, plus 200. Dylan Gabriel, 5-1. Shador Sanders, now the longest price of this bunch at 7-1. Joe, in comparing the two rookies, there's no doubt that Cleveland likes Dylan Gabriel better. How could I say such a thing? They drafted Dylan Gabriel in the third round, and Shador Sanders fell to them in the fifth. They drafted and selected Gabriel in front of Sanders. Now, I don't think either of the two rookie signal callers are going to end up being the starting quarterback. We'll see which of the two, if either, end up making that 53-man roster when all is said and done. You don't believe, Joe, they're going to keep four quarterbacks with Deshaun Watson there as well. So really the question to me, like you posed right before the break, Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett? If I'm the Cleveland Browns with a 5.5 win total for 2025 and the under having considerable juice at minus 140, I want to see what Kenny Pickett has. I know what Joe Flacco has. He is a veteran if things really get off the rails. But I'm going to have Kenny Pickett start from week number one.
Your hope, right, and now Kenny Pickett on his third team from Pittsburgh to Philly to Cleveland, is that he can channel and have a progression similar to Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, where they bounced around multiple teams, finally got an opportunity to start, and all of a sudden have become legitimate starters in this league for both now Seattle and the Tampa Bay Bucks. It's worth the risk to see if Kenny Pickett, with Kevin Stefanski, who's been two-time coach of the year and has, you know, coached up, obviously, Jameis and Joe Flacco to elite performances, that he could do the same with Kenny Pickett. And he's young enough where that might be your quarterback for the next 4 or 5 seasons. We don't know. And if we're talking right now, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, Shador Sanders, Pickett has the experience. Pickett's young enough. And again, he's a veteran with Kevin Stefanski, where if things perform well from an offensive perspective, this team has a shot. You can't say no, knowing how the AFC's been up and down. Look, I know it's a 5.5 win total. I get that. But they do have an above-average defense where if that defense comes to play, Myles Garrett and the crew can carry them. I'm sorry. Look, we've seen teams fall off a cliff, right?
Yeah.
We've also seen teams elevate. They could potentially elevate if they get competent quarterback play.
You are much more optimistic about this season in front of the dog pound than I am. I would assume you have already bet the over of the 5.5 wins for the Browns this year.
No, I haven't, but I told you I will. Oh. And I'll take it. I will. I really believe I probably would. I probably would go up to 7.5. For them to be an 8-9 football team, I don't think is out of the realm of possibility, knowing that they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, who were in contention for a playoff spot with Jameis Winston in their house on a primetime night. We saw them go toe-to-toe with another playoff contender when they were dead and buried in Denver. Granted, they gave up a ton of yards, but you're telling me with Kenny Pickett, if Kenny Pickett is above average, and I'm not talking about elite, but if he's above average, and you're laughing, I'm serious. I would buy the 5.5 win total. If people are buying the 5.5 win total on the New York Giants, okay, and thinking that because Russell Wilson, you know, can carry this team to 7 or 8 wins because of their so-called defense, why can't Cleveland do it? It's just because it's the AFC North, and we're thinking Cincinnati and Baltimore are going to be world beaters. But again, we have to see how this situation plays out.
And Joe, there's two teams right now with a 5.5 win total on the FanDuel Sportsbook, both with pretty hefty juice on the under. I flubbed it up earlier. The Giants juiced at -140. The Browns even more juice at -160 to that under. Theoretically and technically, the worst win total in the National Football League. Cleveland expected to have the worst record in the NFL in 2025. They also, because of their schedules being, their win total being low, and the fact they play in difficult divisions, the Giants have the hardest schedule in the National Football League. The Browns have the second hardest schedule in the NFL. I laugh a little bit, not because of what you are saying now. I just remember as we finished our Sports Grid NFL draft special.
We have a bet.
And what a time that was. A fantastic 48 hours.
Let me just say this. Yeah, it was a fantastic 48. Yeah. Let me just say this. People bash, right? And I understand. But people bash Pete Carroll in Seattle when they had a 5.5 win total when Geno Smith was starting. And all he did was lead that team to a playoff appearance and go 9-8. So you can't say it can't happen. Will it be an uphill battle? Absolutely. Do things need to fall the right way for the Browns to compete? Absolutely. All I'm saying is if Kenny Pickett's above average and is more like the quarterback coming out of Pittsburgh than he was his first year with the Steelers, yeah, have a shot. That's all I'm saying.
I get it. Listen, and I would take that jump on the Browns, at +200 to start Kenny Pickett because of that elevated ceiling, right? You know what Joe Flacco has done. It's not like Flacco has been with the Browns 5 years and is now back after a year in Indianapolis. He was there basically for 6 games, 5 to end out the regular season, performed incredibly well after Deshaun Watson was injured, led them to the playoffs. Don't get me wrong, but it's not like he's the savior of the organization back. Flacco is incredibly consistent, but that's not really what you're hoping for, I would not think, if you are Cleveland this year. So that's where things stand around the NFL. Maybe Joe Lisi is onto something. Listen, the Browns have a talented roster. They won 11 games 2 years ago. We'll see if they can do the same in 2025. Of course, that is not the expectation. 5.5 the win total for Cleveland. The under has the hefty juice at -160. Let's talk a little college football to end out our hour together here on this Wednesday on Football Full Circle on the other side of the break. I've got two things to discuss in the ACC that I bet on yesterday. I want my co-host Joe Lisi's reaction up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
So you know, Joe and I, a couple of college football aficionados, even at dates like this in early June, we start to do a little bit of college football research. We dive into the returning production. We look at schedules. We get projected win totals for the opponents. All of that good stuff started to do our math. What has changed? What is the same? What remains constant? What can this team, this league, this program improve upon entering a new season? So yesterday, Joe, I'm doing a little bit of early offseason reading on the ACC, on the Athletic, the 10 most impactful moves for this conference all offseason. Of course, Bill Belichick heading to North Carolina was the one that moved the needle the most. We'll see if that's for good or for worse in 2025. But I made two wagers based on my own research and then putting that into my own context yesterday around the ACC. One, first and foremost, the team to win the conference. To me, that's Clemson at a plus 135 price. That price has dropped by 10 cents in the last 24 hours. You want to call me a market mover? I would agree. Plus 125, the price on the Tigers as the short favorites to win the ACC championship, Joe, once again. Clemson has won the ACC, by the way, 8 of the previous 10 years, despite not really being a national championship contender in the previous 4 or 5 seasons. In my mind, Lisa Guy, Clemson not only wins the ACC this year, Clemson's making a run in the college football playoff.
Yeah, and it hinges on their quarterback, Cade Klubnik. And we talked about the loss to Texas in Austin, right, in the playoff atmosphere. They put up 24-plus points. It should have been 31. They got stuck on a 4th and goal on the 1-yard line, but they should have covered that game. But you're right, and that was one of the best secondaries with Notre Dame in terms of all of college football. The way Cade Klubnik and the passing attack came on, it's great value. Being on Clemson in recent years and just backing them and knowing they're deserving of the plus 125 price, especially knowing how they made a second half run to knock off SMU in the championship game, right? So if they get there, they're most likely going to win it. Some of the other teams, I think, in the conference that potentially, you know, the ACC is tough because it's so top heavy that, you know, you want to take a shot. I would take a shot, though. On two teams, I would take a shot on Louisville, just knowing how Brohm is as a head coach and knowing that he coaches it up. I can't buy into Miami. Sorry, Carson Beck and all the nice new additions until Mario Big Chess gets it done. Can't do it. But Louisville at 7-1, I think has some value. The other one's a deep shot, and I'm not sold on Brent Pry being a great coach, but 30-1 for Vatek with drones in that offense coming back. I know they lose Tootin. But so what? 30-1 for the Hokies, to me, has some value, Ben.
How about not Brent Pry in Virginia Tech, but Brent Key in Georgia Tech at a 13-1 number? Because that was the other wager I made on the ACC yesterday. I love consistency. And I know in these days of college athletics, you can revamp a lot immediately in the transfer. But when you bring back your star quarterback, your star running back, your star wide receiver, and you add on in the transfer portal to fill other holes and make additions for a coach in Brent Key, who I think is one of the best in college football and has proven as such, booked as an underdog, I bet the Bees, Joe, over 7.5 for their win total, expecting them to get to 8. In the first 2 years under Brent Key as a full-time head coach, they have won 6 games in 2023, and then in 2024, a 7-5 regular season record. You got Haynes King back, Jamal Haynes next to him, Malik Rutherford, and you add on Eric Rivers, one of the top wide receivers in the country last year, the transfer from FIU. You filled some holes defensively. I love the Yellow Jackets entering this year, Joe. And frankly, if I think they're an 8-4, 9-3 football team sailing over that win total, maybe they can make some noise contending for a conference crown.
Yeah, if they could get to 10 or even, obviously, 11 wins, they're going to be in the conversation. The biggest thing for me in terms of what Brent Key has brought that program is physicality in the interior line. When he took over a couple of years ago, Georgia Tech gave up 221 rushing yards per game. He's taken 100 yards off of that from last year. They only gave up 122 on the ground, and they went toe-to-toe with the most physical team in the SEC and lost Georgia. That's an indicator that they're on the upswing.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. The Georgia Tech defense has improved rapidly over the span of the last 2 years. Love Georgia Tech over 7.5 wins. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. That does it for us today on Football Full Circle. Show returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time.